Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. If you don't have a Bible, actually most of the verses today that we're going to be using are on your sheet, but we're going to dip there into that first chapter of 2 Peter a couple of times as we move through the message today. A long time ago, we were doing a series of messages in the area of discipleship, and I want to pick that up again today. This will be the first in a new sub-series of discipleship, and I'm calling this series Living Delight. Every Christian should be living in delight of God. As we see Him in our lives, we should be delighted by Him, living delight. And the title of this morning's message is Seeing the Invisible. Let's ask God's help. Lord, we would dare not come to your word except we come and ask that the Spirit of God would illuminate the truth of the word of God to our hearts, Lord, the children of God. We know that you work through both your Spirit and word in tandem as Siamese twins, and we need both for our daily lives. Now, Lord, show us what you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nolan and I discipled a couple who had the biggest CD and DVD collection I've ever seen in anyone's home. The collection covered two walls of their lounge room. There are not that many DVDs and CDs that are good. I never looked at the titles, but there must have been a bunch that were pretty worldly and worse. Now, when you're discipling people, you're wanting them to move from a fleshy, worldly, and perhaps even sometimes demonic position in life toward Christ-likeness. The goal of discipling is that people follow Christ and that they become like the Lord Jesus Christ. So the CDs, probably mostly purchased before they were saved, and their DVDs were a concern to me, and every time I went into their lounge room, they were very confronting, and I was concerned for them, but quite deliberately, I chose never to mention them. You see, when we start with a new Christian, or a Christian, maybe they've been saved a long time, but they're still a babe in Christ because they've never had a chance to grow. When we start with such a person, we start with spending time in the Word of God, spending time in prayer, talking to God. We start with things like how God guides, how to have victory over sin. And because, of course, we all do sin, how to have forgiveness of sin. They're the kind of basics for the Christian life. So there is an expectation as the new Christian gets into the Word of God that the Spirit of God will show them those things in their lives that are not pleasing to God. In fact, sometimes we use a diagram of a house and we make a point that in every house there is a move-in day for the people that live in that house, but over the years they live in that house, they're redecorating the various rooms of the house. And it's like that with the Christian life. There is a move-in day for the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit continues to touch room after room after room in our lives and show us those areas that we need to get right with God. So we have this expectation that the Spirit of God will speak through the Word of God in regard to people, in regard to what people watch, in regard to what people listen to, in regard to what they do, and in regard to what they say. Sure. So I deliberately never mentioned the collection of CDs and DVDs. I was trusting that as God was working in their lives, they would begin to deal with these things and get rid of such stuff. Let me say, I'm never going to take that approach again. Why? From the day that they professed Jesus Christ as Savior, the battle for their souls heated up. Do not ever forget this crucial verse, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There is a battle going on in our souls. Before salvation, we lived according to the flesh, the world and the devil, and there was no such battle. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 explains that saying, you once walked according to the course of this world, you can circle world, according to the prince of the power of the air, you can circle prince there because that's talking about Satan, the devil. who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, and you can circle flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So the world and the flesh and the devil are working together to cause us to go the opposite way that God wants us to go. After salvation, the Spirit now opposes that flesh, and so World War III begins within the soul of that new believer. Now, the Spirit is going to win that war if we feed the Spirit by the Word of God, by prayer to God, and by fellowship with God's people. But the flesh will win that war if we bolster the flesh by feeding the flesh with worldly kind of stuff. What we taught this couple in discipleship was good. We were giving them the Word of God, but unfortunately it was not enough compared to what they were ingesting, what they were taking into their lives of worldly stuff, probably at the rate of 2 new DVDs a week. They fed their souls on worldly stuff, and so the flesh within them became strong, and not surprisingly, they fell away from the Lord. But I learned something in discipleship. As I'm continuing to learn things about the Lord every week as I walk with Him, and I trust you are too. I learned that if you're going to see people grow in Christ, you have to cut off the worldly food that they are taking into their souls, and you have to give them the pure milk of the Word, and the pure milk of the Word only if they are going to be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. These couples were blind to the dangers of those DVDs. They were blind to the dangers of worldliness. And that there is one of the terrible consequences of spiritual blindness, that people just do not see the dangers in the choices that they're making. Brothers and sisters, my agenda in this series is that each one of us could see the spiritual, that we could see the Lord, and in seeing the Lord, that we would be delighted in Him, that we'd be captivated by Him, that we would be living delight, that we'd have a joy and a praise for Him. It is my agenda that as we see the dangers of spiritual blindness, and we would see the traps that we might fall into. It is my agenda that we see the spiritual, see the invisible, and therefore make good choices in life. And how we need to see always the spiritual. For the spiritual realities are the eternal realities. Well, God has revealed the spiritual to us in this book. And the eyes of faith will see the truth as we read this book. Eyes illuminated by the Holy Spirit see the spiritual as the greater reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "For our light affliction," that's talking about life as we go through the battle, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We will spend much time in this series gazing upon the spiritual realities to the delight of our souls. But for today, I want us to see three problems with spiritual blindness. Three problems with spiritual blindness. The first problem with spiritual blindness is the blind cannot see the danger. Blind people just cannot see the danger that is ahead. There are two types of people in this world, as we're thinking here. Obviously, there's the blind and there are the seeing. The man born blind said in John chapter 9 and verse 25, "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." He was once of one category and now he is of the other category. Blind, first and foremost, in the scripture, refers to those who are not saved yet by the Spirit of God, those who are not saved. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 explains, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in on them." Unsaved folk cannot see, nor can they understand the spiritual realities that we see and understand. The unsaved are clearly blind, as Paul says, blinded by the wicked one. But blindness is not always total. Ophthalmologists have categories of blindness ranging from 20% up to 100% blind. That whole range of visual impairment is referred to by ophthalmologists as blind, even though there may be some sight. The same is true spiritually. Peter, in that passage that was read out by Rob this morning, in that passage, says that the mature Christian is going to have godliness, and he is going to have brotherly kindness, and he is going to have love. But Christians will often lack these qualities of godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And he comments about that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. And he says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." So according to Peter, a Christian can have a sight impairment, perhaps not 100% blind as the unsaved are, but nevertheless almost. For verse 9 says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Brother and sister, let's confess. We all have blind spots. We all have blind spots. It may be Bible truth that we're hearing. It may be Bible truth that applies to us, but we just don't see it yet. We have a blind spot in that particular area. Now, we're not as blind as the unsaved, but our blind spots create problems for us, just as being totally blind does for the unsaved. And the first is that we cannot see the danger ahead. This is possible even for Christians, that we cannot see the danger ahead. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says, "A prudent man foresees evil." Foresees. "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." You see, the simple man or the foolish man cannot see the dangers that are ahead, and so they get trapped in life. The wise man is conscious of the warnings of Scripture. He sees those dangers, and so he is able to avoid those dangers. The foolish man says, "Only this once," and he doesn't see the danger of that thing, and he gets trapped by it. The wise man says never, and he avoids the trap. He sees the trap of pornography. He sees the trap of drugs. He sees the trap of alcohol and relationships with the wrong people. Proverbs 22 and verse 5 says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them." Perverse is the opposite to straight. So instead of going straight, this man bends off. He is crooked in his lifestyle. He strays from the straight path, and he will find that there are thorns and entanglements, difficulties in life because he has gone that way. But the other man, he sees the thorns and entanglements. He decides to go straight, even to the guarding of his heart, even to the thoughts of his mind, because he knows that the things that are thought in the mind, out of the heart arises the life. The things that we do and the things that we say arise from the life, and so he controls even his heart. Dear brother and sister, may I say to you this morning, open your eyes and see. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Please have a look and see. A blind person cannot see an object that is in front of them. Maybe it's a step, maybe it's a box or some rollerboard or something or other. They cannot see an out-of-control vehicle that may be hurtling towards them. They cannot see signs that say slippery when wet or watch your feet. The blind have dangers that we just don't have to deal with as sighted people. Similarly, the spiritually blind teenager would have never started to use pornography if he had realized that later that would have broken his marriage. The hurting husband would have never got drunk that night if he could have foreseen that in driving his car he was going to kill another innocent motorist. The Christian parents would have never changed churches if they could have seen that taking their children to that worldly youth group meant that they were going to lose their children. That dad would have read his Bible every day with joy if he had realized what his complacency would mean in his children's lives. Seeing spiritual realities would prevent addiction. Seeing spiritual realities would prevent family breakup. It would prevent rebellious teens and so much more. Not absolutely, because even we all make choices. Even our children can make wrong choices, though they grow up in a godly home. But so much less thorns and prickles than those in the world. The spiritually blind just cannot see the danger, and so they make bad choices. They do not see the importance of prayer and of devotions and of family devotions and coming together as a church family to worship God and read His Word together. They do not see the importance of a passion for God, of seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. They do not see how important it is to trust God in trials. They do not see that they need to be seeking spiritual answers to their problems and not the kind of solutions that the world offers. They cannot see it. They are blind, and so they fall for the dangers and are trapped. The second problem with spiritual blindness is similar. The blind are easily led astray. They cannot see the dangers, and so they fall. They are easily led astray. They can so easily wander. How easy it is to say to a blind person, I will show you, I will help you, and then lead that blind person to some alleyway and rob them of everything they have. I hope none of us would want to do that, but that would be easy with a blind person. Blind people are easily led astray by others. So it is with the spiritually blind. They are easily led astray by the world. Because we were all blind once, we all walked according to the course of this world. We have already read that. According to the prince of the power of the air, according to our own flesh. But those who see do not want to follow the world any longer. We can see the danger there in the world. We can see that it is the wrong way to go. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We no longer love the world because now the love of God is in our hearts as Christians. Those who see through the world, those who love God and therefore see through the world, will have victory over the world. I would that we could all spot worldliness with a glance. But because we have blind spots, we're easily led astray sometimes even as Christians. Because the world is visible and audible and in our face, it's so easy to overlook the invisible and the inaudible and to be led astray by the world. You cannot make right choices out here in a visible world without spending much time in the invisible world. May I say that again? You cannot make right choices out here in this visible world without spending much time in this invisible world. We must know this book well to see well. Would you repeat that in your heart? We must know this book well to see well. Without knowing this book well, it can be hard to see what is the world and what is not. And there are none so blind as those who will not see. The world and the flesh, you see, are pulling us, and Satan is pushing us in the one direction. And some Christians, many Christians perhaps, do not want to be shown what they are doing is wrong. They do not want to see, and so they remain blind. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses," now that's particularly referring to the conscience, "have their conscience exercised to discern both good and evil." It's the function of the conscience to discern good and evil. If you will not spend time feasting on this book, then you're not going to see right. Exactly the same is true in the physical world. If you do not eat right, if you don't get vitamin A, first of all, you're going to get night blindness. And then if you continue to lack vitamin A, you'll get total blindness. If we do not feed on this book, we're going to be blind to the things out there in life and blind to the things of the world. I hope everyone here, let's just take an easy example. I hope everyone here can see that smoking marijuana is wrong. It's a foolish thing to do. But you know, the word marijuana, if you look up a concordance, the word marijuana never occurs in our Bibles. So how do we know it's wrong? Well, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their conscience exercised both to discern good and evil." So they have to be eating the meat of this word. They have to be exercising their conscience. You know, every time we obey this word, God shows us something else. So those who are going to have good understanding have to be obeying what they already know. And if we know this word well, then the Spirit of God might bring like Ephesians 5:18 to mind, which is on your sheet, and it says, "And do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." So then, because we know the word well, this verse comes to mind. Marijuana, like alcohol, takes a control of the mind. And clearly that verse is talking about a control of the mind, and it's simply wrong for the Christian. Yet I had a young man tell me that God said, and he quoted Genesis 1 and 29, "See, I have given you every herb." And of course, he was talking about marijuana. Why was he misquoting that Bible verse? Because he wanted to use marijuana. He did not want to see that using marijuana was wrong, and so he remains blind to this day. People who do not want to stop using their worldly CDs and DVDs like the couple I told you about want you to show them chapter and verse. "Show me from the Bible." That doesn't talk about DVDs, does it? Yes, it does. You can show them verses like Psalm 101 verse 3. "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." Or Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." You've got to think about the things that are godly, in summary. Well, if you quote those verses to them, they will tell you, well, those verses don't apply to what I'm watching or what I'm doing. They just do not want to see. They are not spending much time in the Word. They're not exercising their conscience toward godliness. And they do not want to see the things that they are doing are wrong. And so they remain blind. One author says, "The same is true for involvement in the worldly culture around us. Asking if the content of a song is spiritually legal or not, or the content of a movie or a sporting event, vacation, excursion or computer game is spiritually legal or not is only a small fraction of the issue. Even if something is not directly forbidden in the word by command or principle, the believer must ask himself many more questions before he decides whether he can do that thing or not. He must consider, how much of this kind of thing am I already filling my life with? Because we're told in the scripture to redeem our time, and therefore our concentration must be towards spiritual things. He must ask, what is being neglected in my life while I partake? Is God wanting me to be doing something else, reaching out to a neighbor, helping someone in need? Another question he should ask is, what other kinds of entertainment and recreation am I already involved with? Am I over-recreated? Why am I indulging in this in the first place? Is my soul restless for entertainment because I am spiritually empty? There's a good question. Should I be handling the restlessness, loneliness, or emptiness another way? If I am merely trying to unwind, is this the way that God teaches me to handle stress? Would this activity be all right if I indeed handled pressure God's way? Whom will I be affecting, and in what way by example? So this author says there are the list of questions goes on and on. All those questions need to be answered from the Word of God. We must know the Word well to see well. We must have the Holy Spirit illumine the truth of the Word of God to our eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "Now you have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely given to us by God." The Spirit is given that we might know, that we might understand. "If at all we have blind spots, we're easily led astray into the world, and we will wander. Know the Word well, so you can see the spiritual issues well. And feed your soul on truth, the lovely, the good, and the praiseworthy." The third problem with spiritual blindness is the blind are more easily discouraged. The blind are more easily discouraged. Blind folk have a higher suicide rate than the general population. Sad but true. And it's certainly also true spiritually that the blind are more easily discouraged. The more our society has left the knowledge of God, the more that purpose has been thrown out the door, the more that depression increases and the more despair we see. Our young people are committing suicide at a high rate because they cannot see the purpose in life. They cannot see God in the picture. They cannot make sense of it at all. They don't even believe there is a God to bring into the picture. In middle life, men and women are having midlife crises, so-called, because what they expected from life just hasn't happened in their lives. They have not seen God in their lives, according to this passage that we read earlier on and that Rob read for us. I'm just going to read again from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." One counselor explains, "When I deal with despairing individuals, whether Christians or non-Christians, I know that person has spent a lot of time reflecting. He has allowed himself to think much about his way of life and how his life has not turned out the way he expected it to do. He is thinking how pointless things are. He has reflection," this author says, "minus illumination." By minus illumination, he means that he has not been seeing the invisible. There has been little or no illuminated truth penetrate his soul. God is not the biggest concern of his life. He has been existing with little or no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Leaving God out of the picture of life is devastating to life. Paul states in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." The blind do not see spiritual truth. They do not make sense of life. Life has no purpose. They have blind hearts and darkened minds. And the scripture says that their very existence depends on futile and empty thoughts. No wonder they despair. Extreme sports is actually a testimony to our desire for some kind of adrenaline pump, some kind of thrill, some time of desire to add some zest to life. It is that same drive that drives extreme drugs and also drives extreme living. People follow one pursuit after another trying to find satisfaction in life. Ted was being interviewed on TV. Ted had achieved everything that he had set out to achieve in his life. He was a high school teacher and he'd won awards for his high school teaching. He'd raced motorcycles. He'd climbed mountains. He'd kayaked down mountain streams. But all this adventure, he said, and I quote him, had a hollow ring to it. His success as a high school teacher did not bring him satisfaction either. So he tried cross-dressing and he decided to have a sex change operation. His marriage broke, not surprisingly. He was dismissed from his school. Ted now called himself Trish and was excited about his new life, feeling that he had found the problem to his emptiness in life. But sadly, Ted, now Trish, will eventually find that that is entirely empty also. That's what the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about. Solomon tried everything, and everything, when God is left out of the picture, is eventually empty. Many who have come to that point, realizing that even what they grasped at in the end was empty, commit suicide. What is left in life? Despair is common among the blind. Life is not meant to make sense when God is left out of the picture. The blind do not see the danger ahead, and so they fall. The blind are easily led astray. They wander into the ways of the world. The blind do not see the beauty of life. They do not see the beauty of the living God, and so they are susceptible to despair. So then, brothers and sisters, let's open our minds to spiritual truth. Let's bring God into the picture of life. Let's get rid of the blind spots. Let's get the whole picture of life by knowing this book well. Let's ask His Holy Spirit to illumine us as we come to the Scripture. Let's walk in the light as He is in the light. Will you say to God today, as David said in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God." Will you, with the Apostle Paul, have a passion for the living God, as he said in Philippians 3 and verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Dear brother and sister, will you stop being lukewarm, half-hearted? Will you stop trying to serve two masters? Will you unreservedly be all out for God because you see the invisible? You see the realities. You see what is important. You are focused on God and delighted in Him. You are captivated by God. So, let me just briefly go through a checklist here for you. Number one. Since the Holy Spirit has revealed what God is like in the Bible, how regularly are you studying the Word of God to see God in the Scriptures? Would you commit yourself to be in His Word daily? Number two, it's only the pure in heart that see God, according to Matthew 5 and verse 8, how diligent are you staying in fellowship with God? Have you allowed sin to stray in your life? Is there anything this morning that you need to confess that is between you and God? Number three, as you study, are you praying that God would illuminate your heart and show you the truth of the Scripture? Number four, as you teach your children and as you disciple others, are you praying that God would illuminate their hearts also? Number five, when was the last time that God truly illuminated your heart? You were grasped by a truth from the Word of God that was life-changing to you. And number six, is there a trail of illuminated truth in your life where you can mark the progress of how you have progressed through the Christian life? Sadly, there are Christians whose relationship with God is so distant that they don't see Him at all. They have that night blindness already because when they go into a dark spot in life, they just don't see God. Seeing the invisible changes life. We all experience sorrow, but when we see Him in the picture, we will not despair. There will be an abiding joy and peace, even in sorrow. And let's go back to a verse that we started with, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." To see God is to be delighted in Him. When I see the invisible spiritual realities, I will not fall, I will not wander, I will not despair. So in the rest of this series, we'll be focused on Him, delighting in Him, and seeking to bring glory to Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your people today. I pray that if there's any blind spots, that they would be confessed before you right now. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that your people would be drawn to your word to feed upon it, so, Lord, that they might see all, they might avoid those traps in life. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that your people would see you in the events of life, and seeing you, there would be a peace and joy, though the situation be very difficult and black. I pray a blessing upon this people, especially as they seek to draw close to you and seek first the kingdom of God. Bless this people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.